We are discussing the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. We started this last Sunday, and of course we mentioned some things about parables, that they were basically a illustration slash story that Jesus would use to teach truth, to basically cast alongside some kind of a spiritual truth that he would be teaching. And he used many, many parables. And so we kind of referred to that parable as an illustration, which is kind of what we use sometimes in our teaching and preaching. Obviously, his were a far greater impact because they were from the Son of God. So today we're looking at, as you can see there, we're looking at the sower, the parable of the sower. And really, you could have various names for this parable if you choose. But let's jump right into this. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. You see, there were so many people that it was better for Jesus to get out on the water in a boat so that everybody could hear him. And that's what was going on here. And he spake many things unto them in parables. In fact, numerous parables are within this particular chapter, but we're going to look at one. Saying, behold, a sower, verse 3, went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell onto good ground, brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this afternoon for this special Lord's Day. Obviously, we know every Sunday we celebrate your resurrection. Every Sunday is exciting because it is the Lord's Day. And however, for the last 19 years, we have celebrated around the first or second Sunday of June the anniversary of this church, Lord, your church, the church that you established back in 2001. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. Now, as we open up Matthew 13, these verses and other places in the Word of God, Holy Spirit of God, please teach us, even in this hour. There might be someone listening that is not saved. I pray that you'd convict them of their need of a Savior. And Lord, there's many, I'm sure, that are saved that are listening, but we all need to be closer to you. We all need to have a greater level of love for you and for our fellow man. And I pray that you would create that in us, even in this Sunday school hour. In Jesus' name, amen. The parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. I'm going to have you now hold your place in Matthew 13, and we're going to come back to that. But I want you to go ahead with me to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter number 4. And I want you to see what the Lord Jesus said in a parallel passage regarding this particular parable. This particular parable. And you have the verse there on the screen, but you can turn if you choose as well. And it's vital. It's vital. So much so that let's read what the Lord Jesus said in Mark 4:13. He said, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? How then will ye know all parables? So we're given a little bit of insight into what the importance that Jesus placed on this parable back in Matthew chapter number 13. That in a sense, this particular parable was a big key to understanding the rest of the parables. So if you don't understand this one, how can you understand the rest of them? And so in the beginning of Matthew 13, we just read, the parable is given. Now, one thing about this particular parable is that Jesus, later on in the chapter, gives the interpretation of the parable. And that's in verses 18 to 23. Now, we're not going to look at that right now, but we will as we jump into this even further, okay? I'd like to read to you now, though, if you're back in Matthew 13, I would like you to look at verse number 35. Matthew 13, verse 35. The Bible says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Jesus here in Matthew 13:35 is actually quoting from Psalm 78 and verse 2. And again, much is being taught within these parables. In fact, in this chapter, Matthew 13, there are seven parables. Seven parables. And we're looking at the first one. Now, notice the setting for this parable. We talked briefly about it just a moment ago. He's by the Sea of Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee, near Capernaum. And the Bible says that he is out on a boat so that everyone can hear him. There is an emphasis placed in this particular parable on the hearer. On the hearer. The one that would hear the parable. Okay? What is the condition of those that are listening to the parables of Jesus Christ? All right? Let me have you look at verse 15. In verse 15 of this chapter. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should hear them. Notice Jesus says here that their ears are dull of hearing. In other words, the emphasis is placed on who is hearing this particular parable. Now, we're not there, of course. We weren't there. But right now, we have the Word of God. You have a copy of the Word of God. This is the inspired, infallible Word of God. And so today, we are the hearers. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. That's not only saving faith, but that's living faith every day of our life. And so this afternoon, as we teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God, you and I, even as I'm speaking, we all together are the hearers. I wonder today, could it be said of us that we are like those that were in Matthew 13, dull of hearing? I wonder if it would be said that our heart is waxed gross and our eyes have closed. In other words, I don't want to see what my life is like. I don't want to see what the condition of the world is like. I don't want to hear what God has for me. And that's the condition of the people that he's teaching in this particular text of Scripture. So we mentioned earlier that the interpretation of the parable is in verses 18 to 23. And I'm so thankful that we have a copy of the Word of God today. And because we have a copy of the Word of God, we have the opportunity to continue to grow in grace. So, how were we saved? Well, I told you that just a moment ago. We were saved by the Word of God. That's how faith comes. That's how salvation comes. Without the Word of God, we cannot be saved. And so, I'm thankful that we have the Word of God. So, now that we've been saved, remember we talked about salvation and sanctification and sanctification and glorification. We're in that sanctification journey right now, and so let's be individuals today that don't just hear the Word of God, but let's be individuals today that apply the Word of God. So salvation is not just the Bible is not just to save us. The Bible is meant to help us to grow in grace. So the challenge that is given in this parable is examine your heart. Examine your heart. That is represented by what we're going to look at last, but that is represented by the term the soil. The soil. So really what Jesus is giving here is a parable for the hearers to recognize their heart. Because there's some things in this parable that are the same. That are the same. And I think I'm jumping ahead of myself. So, number one, let's look at the seed. The seed, okay? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Now, we're going to be in our Bibles here, so let's have them available. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The first thing that we're going to look at is the seed. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18. Many of you know what the seed in the Bible represents. But possibly this is the first time you've looked at this parable, and so it will be a great challenge and help to you, but it'll also be a great reminder to all of us. For as much as ye know, verse 18, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be of God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Here we go. Being born again. That's what we talked about just a minute ago. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of who? God. By the word of God. Let's say that. By the word of God. And look what the Bible says about itself. It liveth and abideth how long, church? Forever. It abideth forever. The seed is the word of God. As Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter number 13, Jesus Christ was speaking incorruptible words. Everything that Jesus Christ spoke was incorruptible words. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word of God is the seed. It is the incorruptible Word that Jesus Christ was speaking at the Sea of Galilee. What we have to remember is they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have Matthew 13 to say, oh, what was it that the preacher said? I missed that. No, Jesus was speaking. There was no Bible. There was no Scripture. At least there wasn't any Matthew 13 yet, obviously. There was no New Testament yet. And so what he was speaking was the incorruptible word of God. It was life-changing. It was before life-changing, it was life-producing. God's word produces life. You know what the Bible says about people that are in their sin still? It says they are dead in their trespasses and sin. So before somebody gets saved, they are a walking dead man. They are a walking dead lady. They are a walking dead teenager. This is in the spiritual sense. And when somebody hears the word of God, recognizes their sinful condition, recognizing that they're a sinner, they deserve to go to hell, that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for their sin, without his precious blood, they have no hope of heaven, and they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the word of God produces life. It produces life. It is how we are born again. We are not born again of incorruptible or of corruptible seed. We are born again of incorruptible seed. And so praise the Lord. It produces life. But then also, Isaiah 55 and verse number 11, the Bible says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I like to say this, that the Word of God is not only life-producing, but it is life-changing. It is life-changing. It's how someone like you and someone like me, before we got saved, were headed a certain direction, toward destruction, toward evil, possibly, headed that way anyway, and all of that goes with it, worldliness and all of that. And then we met Jesus. Praise the Lord for salvation. Amen. If you're saved today, praise the Lord for that. And not only did he give us new life, but then produced it, then he changed our whole direction. He changed our whole direction. I mean, literally, it's a 360. I'm headed to destruction, and I spin around. Jesus spins me around, and now I'm headed not only to eternal life, but I'm headed to joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm headed to the blessings of God. And only the grace of God, only the Word of God can do that. So the importance of the seed, the importance of the seed. The seed is the Word of God. It is why over these last 3 weeks we have been mailing these gospel tracts to every apartment in a certain postal code in our community. And we've had more funds come in today. In fact, much has come in today. To God be the glory. I don't know how much yet. But we'll know here by the end of the day or even in tomorrow how many tracts we're going to be able to mail this week. What's the big deal? Why are we mailing these gospel tracts? So that we have a lot of views on our live stream? No, that's not why we're mailing them. We're mailing because on the back of the gospel tract is just that. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the seed. It is the message that produces life. It is the message that changes life. You know what? Some of these might end up in a mailbox of a born-again Christian that are away from God. Their life has been produced. They're saved. They're on their way to heaven. But they're away from God. And God says, no, I want to get you back. I want to get you back into the church. I want to get you back into my word. I had someone tell me this week that I need to be reading my Bible more. How about that? I'm sure we would all agree with that. We all need to be reading our Bible more. Why? Because it is the incorruptible seed. You see, that's one of the parts of this parable that are the same regarding each section. It doesn't change. It's the seed in each situation. Okay? And so today, the Anchor Baptist Church, for the last 19 years, going into year number 20 now, we're starting year number 20, by God's grace, we must continue to emphasize the seed. We must continue to spread the seed. We must continue to pray that the seed would bring forth fruit. And so number one, we have the seed. Go with me now, if you would, to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Number two, we have the sower. The sower. Psalm 126 in verse number 1. We'll read I think it's the entire psalm or a good portion of it, the entire psalm. The Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Praise God, that's true today, isn't it? Whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow, that's a key word right there. That's not S-E-W, that's S-O-W, all right? They that sow, sounds just like the other one, but it's not. Amen, English language. They that sow in tears shall reap, that's a good one there, reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Who is the one that goeth forth? That's the sower. Okay, that's the sower. He has the seed. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. That's the crop. You got to sow the seed before you can have the sheaves. Remember that song? We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Not sheets. That's what I thought it was for all those years. But it's sheaves. And that's what God wants. But you can't have sheaves until you have sown the seed of the Word of God. Now, in this particular parable that we're looking at, Jesus Christ is the sower of the seed in this particular parable. Now, fast forward ahead, and He has given us the responsibility in 2020. It happened long before 2020. As He leaves in five different places in the gospel accounts, in the book of Acts, He gives the great commission that we're to go and spread the gospel to every creature. We are to be that sower. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. So the sower is us, but here's the good news. We aren't sowing alone. We aren't going out into the fields of the world with the seed. And what is our seed? The seed is always the Word of God. That's why we want to make sure that everything that we do has something with the Word of God on it as much as we possibly can, because that's what's going to change life. That's what's going to bring forth fruit. And God, in his foreknowledge, knew that you and I were going to be weak. And so He has enabled it that He would be a co-laborer. We could be a co-laborer together with Him. He has enabled us at Anchor Baptist Church. To God be the glory. We've been sowing the seed in Burnaby and all over the Lower Mainland now for 19 years. Another way is we support missionaries all over the place. Church planters here in the great country of Canada and down in Mexico and Central America and South America and Europe and Africa and Australia and Asia. And I think I don't know that we have anybody in Antarctica yet. But anyway, we've tried to get the seed into all of the continents of the world. And so we've been giving through our missions program. To God be the glory. What is the main purpose of that? It's so that there can that sowers can go to the place, the field, where God has called them, and so they can take the Word of God with them and plant and water and plant and water so that there can be a harvest. God has given us resources these last 19 years so that we could purchase seed. He has given us the spiritual and physical strength to take that seed into our communities. The Bible says, into the highways and byways, and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. He has given us, and this is the blessed, this is what we sow for the glory of God. But here's what we're praying for. We're praying that God would bring a harvest. God has done that. He's not done doing that. God has given us fruit from the seed. Why? Because we are laborers together with God. Don't forget that. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Laborers together with God. At Anchor Baptist Church, we aren't serving God alone. We are co-laborers together with God. So number one, we see the seed. Number two, we looked at the sower. And now we'll spend the remainder of our time and the majority of it on number three, and that is the soil. The soil. Now, here is where the parable begins to add in different dynamics. So far, the first two, they're the same. The seed is the Word of God. It doesn't change. No matter where you go, the Word of God doesn't change. It's been settled in heaven forever. Amen? It's powerful. Wherever you go, the Word of God is powerful. I'm thankful for that. The sower. God is everywhere. Amen? He's all powerful. And we're co-laborers together, so that means we can go. Now, but what is different? What is different is this last point, and that is the soil. The soil. Now, there would have been various groups of people that would have been around the Lord Jesus at this time. They would have been there for various reasons, too. Some would have been there just because Billy went, so I'm going to go because Billy's going. Others would have gone because Susie was going. So, you know, I hear there's a big crowd going. You know how that works, right? Crowds begin to just grow and grow, and people have no idea why they're in this crowd. And that would have happened. I believe that would have happened in Jesus' day. Some were there with little to no interest at all. Some, though, I do believe were there as sincere followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there would have been no way of telling which ones. But I believe that's why we get this particular now part of the parable, the soil. What I want to ask you before we look at these different various kinds of soil is this. I want to ask you, what is your heart like today? Is your heart ready to bear fruit? Okay, let's look at four examples of our heart. Verse number four. Okay, now we're back in our text of Matthew 13. So now really, this is the main part of what we're emphasizing in this parable. Look at verse four. It says, by the wayside. That's soil number one. By the wayside. The other word that we give for that is the word hard. Hard. Kind of like maybe clay. Maybe you've dug in clay before. It's pretty hard, but it's not just clay. This is like a place where people have walked continuously. Lately, we've been playing badminton in our backyard, and most evenings, not typically on Sunday or Wednesday, but maybe four nights a week, we play badminton in our backyard. And you know what's happened? Where the place on each side of the net, where whoever's playing stands the most, you know what's happening? The grass is getting worn down, and now it's you can't even hardly see green, but it's starting to get brown, and the dirt's starting to show through, excuse me, and it's starting to wear through. It's starting to become just like this, the wayside. Now, we did have some rain, which softened it up. I'm just using that as an illustration. The people would have understood exactly what the Lord was talking about, because everywhere people went, unless it was on the backside of a donkey, everywhere that people went, they were walking. They were walking. And I would say that they would walk certain trails, not trails, but certain paths to go certain places. They'd be well traveled. And so this is one type of soil. This is one type of soil, by the wayside or the hard. The soil was hardened. He gives us the interpretation of this soil in verse 18 and 19. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, this is the wayside. This is the hard soil. When someone understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Don't lose that. The seed wasn't just dropped. The seed was sown in the heart, but here's the problem. The heart was wayside. It was hardened. And notice what it says there. And catcheth away that which was... This is he which received seed by the wayside. So, what is the problem? The problem with the hardened heart is that it has little to no understanding. Little to no understanding. You know what? God has given us His Word as Christians. Yes, but number two, God has given us Himself in the person of His Holy Spirit who indwells us as believers. We believe the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that is the author of the Word of God. It says that in the New Testament, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Moved means it's God-breathed. They had their hand on the pen, but the Holy Spirit of God was moving and having them, let them know exactly what God would have them to write. But here's the thing. We can preach the Word of God and preach the Word of God and preach the Word of God. We can sow seed and sow seed and sow seed. The seed is still the Word of God. Amen? The seed is powerful. The sower co-labors together with God. But if that seed falls on a heart that is hardened, little to no understanding, it gives the opportunity for the enemy to come by. The Bible says in verse number 19, the wicked one. And the wicked one, because the seed is, yes, it's sown in the heart, but it's on that hard heart, that the wicked one literally can come down and snatch that seed out. You know what? Many times in my Christian life, I have asked myself, why doesn't that person receive the Lord? Or why doesn't, and I know there's multiple ways that people will look at the parable of the sower, and I might be giving an interpretation of it today or a way of teaching it that I do believe that there's another way you can look at this, but we're going this direction today. But I've wondered many times, why is it that someone, they've heard the gospel 10 times, 15 times, and they won't receive it? I really believe that this is someone, quite possibly, that is mentioned to us here in this very first example. That it isn't the Word of God's problem. It isn't that there isn't anyone sowing. It's that the individual has, on their own, in their own free will, made a choice. And that was they hardened their heart. And I don't think for a minute that this just happens like that. I think it happens over time. And that heart is hardened and hardened and hardened. And it doesn't matter. If I were to take a whole burlap sack full of seed and dump it on a hard heart. That's why we say, God, as we mail these gospel tracts out, Lord, what do we say? We pray this. Prepare the heart. Prepare the heart. So number one, we see the soil by the wayside. Let's look at number two in verse 5. We see the soil by, it says, into stony places. Stony places. And I've given this word for this one, shallow. First one is hard, by the wayside. Second one is stony places or shallow. Look at verse number 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and on with joy receiveth it. Yeah, I'm in. That word and on means right away. He receives it. Verse 21. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. Do you see that? Here's someone who has let's just look at it this way. We've got some rocks, and on top of that rocks, there's a little bit of dirt. The seed comes down and it hits into the dirt. And this is an illustration, but we're talking about the heart, okay? And someone hears that Jesus Christ loves them. He's paid the penalty for them. And they hear that he's preparing a home in heaven for them. And this is how you get saved. It's clearly laid out. And they say, yeah, that sounds like a good deal. I'd like to do that. But you notice what it says here? Jesus says, but when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the, what? Word. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about this right here. In other words, here we have an individual that quickly receives the seed, but when God's word challenges the individual, this individual is quick to settle for minimal, at best, Christianity. And in some cases, this could be someone as well, I'll go ahead and say it, this could be someone as well that truly never even got saved to begin with. That they heard the word of God, and all they did, they didn't really recognize fully their responsibility, that sin had doomed them to for hell, and basically it was just a quick, yes, yeah, I want that. But then as soon as the word of God, because see, a truly born-again believer, when the word of God comes, it will bring conviction, yes. But we will want to grow more. We will want to love God more. We will want to grow in grace more. And so this individual, there's a little bit of dirt there, and the seed comes in. Yeah, sign me up. Oh, that's what this means? You know, as born-again believers, a follower of Jesus Christ should be committed to what Christ has. You know, I really think in these last 11 weeks, that's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like, you know, how much do we really love the Lord? We've had no in-person services. And our Bible reading, you know, I had someone tell me recently, I didn't realize how important my Bible reading time was. I do now, they said. I think all of us have been there before. I'm not picking on that individual. We've been there before. We recognize that today. So, by the wayside, hard, into stony places, shallow, quickly. Number next, verse 7, among the thorns. This is someone who is a crowded heart. So we have hard, shallow, now we have crowded. Crowded. This is someone who has no time for the Lord Jesus. This is someone, in my opinion, that is overwhelmed by the temporal. Look at verse number 22, please. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You know what? God saved me to bear fruit. God saved you to bear fruit. And if I'm not abiding in him, John chapter 15, in Christ, I'm not going to bear fruit. I really firmly believe this is someone who is genuinely born again, and they're not bearing any fruit. Why? Because their life is too crowded. They've allowed the cares of this world. They've allowed financial things maybe to come into their life that they really didn't need. Yes, we all need finances. I'm just saying though. That's what's look how it's spelled out. The deceitfulness of what? Riches. Why is it that so many believers today have no time for God? I don't know. You're going to have to answer that. I'm going to have to answer to God for that on my own. We're all going to give account. Okay? Individually. Oh, make time for God. Don't be like this soil that is crowded, that is among the thorns. I found this quote, a crowded heart is a heart where Christ has very little room. He is crowded out, and anything that crowds him out is a thorn. What is it in your life today? What is it in my life today that is pushing God out and I have no room for God in my life? Well, that's not the way to live the life. That's not the way to bear fruit. But then we have our last soil. In verse number 8, it says, into good ground. Into good ground. And we see the interpretation in verse 33. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word of God, understandeth it, beareth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30. Mark 4 and 20 is a parallel verse for this. It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground. Notice the wording, such as hear the word and receive it. Another one, Luke 8:15, because this parable is given in multiple gospels. But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Here's what I've written down when it comes to the good ground. They understand, they receive, they keep. Someone with a heart of good ground isn't saying, that was a great truth today in the preaching. I'm so glad my husband heard it. No. That's not the way we think. We think, well, I needed that. I needed to receive that. Oh, I sure wish so-and-so could have heard that. It really would have helped them. No, we don't pass off the preaching to our neighbor. A good heart applies the teaching. A good heart opens the Word of God every day and says, God, show me something today from your Word. This parable is so important. Church, don't lose sight of it. Jesus Christ took the time. Obviously, He's God. So He knew the importance of the condition of my heart. A Christian that is successful, seeks to have a heart of good ground. A Christian that is successful, that is doing something for God, for God's glory, and it's not in the doing, it's in the being first. Don't get so concentrated on the doing that you're not being a Christian. We have to be before we can do. We have to have that heart that is prepared. Jesus said, and He said unto them, Mark 4:13, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? I don't know what condition your heart is in today, but I know this. This book right here is the seed, and it is just as powerful today as it was 19 years ago, 1900 years ago, etc. It's powerful. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is not going to return void. We read that in Isaiah 55. You know what? As we go with the seed, we are co-laborers together with God. God is the enabler. God provides the power. God is the one who we are laboring with as we share the seed, as we preach and teach the Word of God. But what we need to seek God's help with is the soil of our heart. What we need to concentrate on here in 2020, Anchor Baptist Church right now, speaking to you primarily as we launch out into the 20th year of ministry here in Burnaby and beyond, we need to say, God, is my heart crowded today? You got to help me get some thorns out of my heart because it's crowded. I've crowded you out. God, have I even hardened my heart to some ways that I'm living and I have no interest in changing the way that I'm living, or I'm closing you out of different things in my life? It's crowded. It's hardened. Maybe I used to read the Word of God and I used to pray and I used to receive preaching and I used to apply it, just like that one that was shallow, quickly would change different ways of living and then go right back into living the way of the world. No, we need to have good ground. May God help me. May God help you that we would seek to have good ground. This is the parable and how the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you today the parable of the sower. I'm thankful that God allowed many people to sow in seed into my life. I'm nobody but a sinner saved by grace. But this book, it gave me life and it's changed my life. The key, though, and I'm not there yet, I need to be there. The key is, will we allow it to? You might be listening today and a section of your heart is hardened. Would you let the Word of God, like a hammer, that's the Bible calls itself, a hammer. Would you let that Word of God hammer your heart and tenderize it just like a meat hammer does, a meat tenderizer does? That our heart would be good ground. We might grow and produce fruit. And don't worry about how much. Just say, God, I need that good heart. I need that good soil. I might produce for your honor.